This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, June 29, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Residents living in city neighborhoods often experience higher temperatures during heat waves. Those areas are called urban heat islands. Recently, environmental advocates gathered at Grand Rapids Hartside Park calling for environmental justice. WGVU's Patrick Center was there.
Extreme heat is no longer simply an inconvenience. It is one of the fastest growing public health threats facing our country.
Kareem Scales is chair of the Greater Grand Rapids NAACP Environmental Justice Committee.
For decades, discriminatory housing policies, redlining, industrial zoning, and chronic disinvestment have left many Black, Latino, immigrant, and low-income neighborhoods with fewer trees, more pavement, less green space, poorer air quality, and significantly higher temperatures. This is what environmental injustice looks like. Communities that contribute the least to climate change are often the communities experiencing the consequences first and most severely.
Today, we are asking this administration to fully fund the EPA and environmental justice programs.
Sergio Sierra Reyes is climate justice catalyst with Urban Core Collective.
Locally, we need to expand tree canopy and neighborhood cooling infrastructure.
Equity priorities found within the City of Grand Rapids Climate Action and Adaptation Plan, focusing on environmental justice, energy democracy, and affordable housing energy efficiency. I'm Patrick Center.
Michigan State Police are investigating the death of a newborn baby found in a porta potty at the Electric Forest Music Festival in Rothbury. WGVU's Dee Morrison reports.
The newborn's body was discovered Sunday morning by an employee of the restroom vending company during routine maintenance. State police confirmed the body of a neonate, a newborn infant less than 4 weeks old, was found in a portable restroom in the camping area. It is unclear if the baby died in the porta potty or was stillborn. Electric Forest is a four-day music festival held annually at the Double J Resort in Rothbury, drawing tens of thousands of fans. This year's event was cut short on Sunday evening by severe weather. Festival organizers issued an online statement that reads, "Forest family, it causes us so much pain to have to share this difficult news with you. Michigan State Police continues to investigate this tragic event if you can assist in any way." Investigators are asking anyone with information to submit tips via the MSP online form. I'm Dee Morrison.
A warning today as we enter a major heat wave across the state. WGVU's Jennifer Moss reports on those at high risk of heat emergencies.
As extreme heat grips Michigan, AAA is warning of a sharp increase in heat-related dangers, including deadly conditions for children and pets in hot cars. On hot summer days, the inside of a parked car can quickly heat up like an oven. Temperatures inside a vehicle can rise by 20 degrees in just 10 minutes. More than 1,000 children have died in hot cars since 1998. That's according to NoHeatStroke.org, with an average of 37 deaths each year. Adrienne Woodland, spokesperson for AAA, the Auto Club Group, says, quote, "Every one of these tragedies is devastating, and many happen faster than people expect," adding, "We want drivers to know this is preventable," end quote. AAA offers steps that can potentially save lives, like never leaving children in a vehicle even for a moment. Check the back seat each time before locking up, and keep vehicles locked and keys out of reach to prevent children from getting in on their own. And a reminder that pets face the same risk. Even with windows cracked, cars can heat up quickly. And experts advise calling 911 immediately if you see a child or pet alone in a vehicle. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Since Memorial Day, when they again started watching the beach, lifeguards in South Haven say they have had over 1,000 mostly routine interactions with sunbathers and swimmers. But on June 9th, WGVU's Phil Dawson reports on a life or death emergency when the mayor's husband collapsed after cardiac arrest.
I want to thank everyone who was involved in saving the life of my husband.
If it weren't for their new lifeguards, South Haven Mayor Annie Brown does not think her husband, Jeff Philbrandt, would be alive after suffering cardiac arrest on South Beach.
A team of lifeguards immediately performed CPR, and when that didn't work, they used the defibrillator to get Jeff's heart started.
After a morning swim in the lake, the mayor says her husband collapsed while chatting with a trio of lifeguards on the beach.
My husband's last words to the lifeguard before he collapsed were, "It looks like you're going to have a slow morning."
South Haven eliminated lifeguards 25 years ago, but after a dozen drownings, several wrongful death lawsuits, and public pressure, this year they voted to put the guards back on the beach.
Doctors and nurses told me, "Jeff, was alive because highly qualified lifeguards were there to immediately perform CPR.
City Councilman Eddie Polk says the three lifeguards who revived the mayor's husband are now some of the city's most popular employees.
They're kind of like celebrities, three good-looking guys. If they could sing, we can call them the South Haven Beach Boys.
There you go.
I'm Phil Dawson.
The Gerald R. Ford International Airport cut the ribbon on its new consolidated car rental facility. WGVU's Patrick Center has the details.
The Consolidated Rent-A-Car Facility, or CONRAC, as airport officials are calling it, is the first of its kind in the state. The $156 million facility brings all rental car functions under one roof, providing covered parking and including cleaning and fueling. It increases capacity and provides quick turnaround for the airport's seven rental car partners. For customers, it offers a climate-controlled skybridge from the terminal and streamlines services. Airport Authority President Tory Richards says it supports passenger demand anticipated over the next two decades. In a news release, airport leadership also anticipates environmental benefits, quote, reducing vehicle miles traveled by 3 miles per vehicle or a total of 600,000 miles per year. More than 90% of the rental car operations will be removed from the airport's roadway system, reducing 500,000 pounds of carbon per year and increasing curbside capacity, end quote. The CONRAC opens to the public July 8th. I'm Patrick Center.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin talks about the return of the Ladies Literary Club, but first, news from around the state. Governor Gretchen Whitmer has filed a request with a federal agency to make low-interest recovery loans available to residents and businesses hit by major flooding earlier this year. The governor filed the request with the Small Business Administration seeking a disaster declaration covering 11 counties. Lauren Thompson is with the Environmental Management and Homeland Security Division of the Michigan State Police. She says the SBA assistance helps individual businesses and homeowners.
They're government loans. They are very low interest, much less than a credit card. So if a homeowner was looking to, you know, start rebuilding, it would be much better to go through an SBA loan than to put something on a credit card.
The Whitmer administration is also appealing a decision by President Trump to deny a disaster declaration covering 37 counties affected by storms, flooding, and tornadoes in April. If approved, that would activate assistance from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Dangerous heat is expected to move into Michigan this week, just as many people make outdoor plans for the 4th of July holiday. Heat index values could climb above 100 degrees in parts of the state starting on Monday. National Weather Service meteorologist T.J. Turnage says that can quickly become dangerous.
Could worry about things like heat exhaustion and extreme cases, heat stroke. So yeah, these are all certainly concerns.
Forecasters say people should drink water, take breaks in the shade or air conditioning, and avoid leaving children or pets in parked cars. The 4th of July weekend forecast is still uncertain, but above normal temperatures are expected to continue through much of next week. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The Ladies Literary Club is under reactivation. WGVU's Shelley Irwin talked to Heather Monroe about the vision for the restored club, its programming, and how the community has responded to the return.
The Ladies Literary Club is under reactivation. Heather Monroe, we'll call you president, CEO, executive director, grand poobah. You're here to talk about the vision for the restored club, its programming, how the community has responded to this great return and needs to have been there in that, on that stage a couple of times. I'm so glad that there is hope. Good morning to you, Heather.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yes. What brought you to, what was your first touch base with Ladies Literary Club?
It started with a conversation with just a random person, Al. We started discussing psychology, and it was a really good conversation, and I kind of inquired why they were, you know, talking to me so in depth about it, and they said they were part of a book club, and they had two rules. No fiction, no self-help. And I thought that was a lovely premise to go away, to study, and come together and discuss it. So I inquired how I could join. And I was told, oh, sorry, third rule, no women. And it sent me on a journey to find a comparable club for women. I thought, okay, that's, you know, to each his own.
That's a whole other conversation.
That is a whole other conversation. Yes. But I think it's a beautiful, you know, lead into the Ladies Literary Club. So I went looking for a comparable book club, and the only thing that I could really find was the Ladies Literary Club, and it didn't exist anymore. And so I endeavored with a couple friends to, you know, start our own, and it really just has a life of its own. It's taken us, I didn't know what we were, you know, starting, and here we are, understanding that we are, have the honor to hopefully steward the ladies back to life.
Because that has rich history, that whole club up on Sheldon, correct?
Correct.
Yes. No need to look too far back, but there is a reason to, as the website says, save the Ladies Literary Club of Grand Rapids. And let's just get this out of the way. You're going to be open to all?
Yes.
Yes. Not just ladies.
Correct.
Yes. I just was going there. So you say, I need to get involved. I need to be on a mission to save the Ladies Literary Club of Grand Rapids. How's that going to happen?
Right now we have launched GoFundMe. Our landing page on our website has a link, and the community support so far has been amazing. We're raising money so that we can enter into a land contract with the current building owners.
Yes, because it was not open, and then it opened. Because again, I'd say in the last 10 years, I've been there for a couple of events. I think even within the last year, there have been. But then now there is a new need.
Correct,
and that's why you come forward.
Yes. You were right. It was open. It was a bit of a like concert venue for shortly. And then that didn't work out, and the building is empty and waiting for the ladies.
Again, there's a beautiful shot of the history. Do you have an idea of the history itself?
Yeah, I do a little bit. Yeah. You know, the women came together in 1869, I believe, at a time when women really didn't have formal opportunities for education, and they began to study together, and it was so popular and a beautiful, you know, community that they ended up being able to create their own space, their own building. They built it. It was their crowning jewel, and it was strong for, I think, 146 years before it dissolved in 2015. Mm-hmm. But it's a beautiful venue. It's not, you know, not just literature. It's a cultural center, really. And that's really what they ended up doing with it. They turned, you know, literature into a gateway to all the arts through that building.
What is your dream,
Kevin? I want to revive it to exactly that. I want it to be a cultural center. I want it to, you know, have author talks. I wanted to have lectures, art exhibitions, concerts, a vibrant cultural center.
Yes. Do you, we don't need to talk specific dollars, but are you looking to meet a minimum? Because do you need restoration? It seems to me you're probably ready to hit the ground running once the doors open.
Yes, we're very fortunate. The building changed hands a couple times, and each time it was renovated with love. And so it's, you know, it's in good repair and ready to be used.
Are there any ghosts in the building?
I have heard rumors.
Okay, that's okay, because everybody needs a friend to talk to.
That's right.
An imaginary friend. There we are. I just went there because I think St. Cecilia has its share, Grand Rapids Civic Theater, because that's the history.
Absolutely, yeah, and I don't think I will mind those ghosts.
No, there you are. Don't scare away your people, but Heather Monroe with us again talking about a new vision for the restored club, the Ladies Literary Club. And I know all is well, you're waiting for the community to support. Is it important to keep the name?
Yes, absolutely. I think the continuity for the history is very important. I think the origin being for women educating, coming together, and even at the time they weren't being exclusive, but I think that it's important to maintain as much of the history intact as possible.
Of course, you are on a fundraising mission, and thank goodness GoFundMe often comes to fruition. Even a $5 or a $10 pledge certainly will work. What once you meet your goal, Heather, how will then you invite the community? What is that vision like?
When we meet our goal, then we have access to the building and we will begin to implement programming. Right now, we have a membership waiting list that's pretty large. We have lots of different book clubs that are reaching out. I think that that is where it's going to kind of start. But I already have people coming to me and asking about showing films, putting on art exhibitions, lectures. So, you know, I can't say yes to anything until we get there, but we'll hit the road running.
And of course, once that's happening, you'll continue to, nothing's free. So obviously the community will continue to support what they need. And I know you're right down the street from Grandma and the other, many other cultural opportunities. You've got the New Bamboo in that whole area. So Ladies Literary Club deserves the next chapter, as they say. Do you need more men and women to serve on a reaching out committee or other ways that we can help?
Yes, absolutely. We'd love volunteers. We would just love any participation. It's a community center in ways, and that, you know, that's what we want. I want to hear from everybody, and if you have an idea, you have a part you want to play, reach out.
There's nothing like being a charter member of something that is going to be big, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Yes. Charter membership has its privileges. So hopefully next July 4th, there'll be flags waving, and that will be a fun stop as we, you know, and that's kind of exciting to think about.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Heather Monroe, what else do you need?
Community support, and just for everyone to know about it. I think that the ladies got forgotten, and we want to remind everyone that they're still here.
Ladies Literary Club, ready to reactivate, needing the community's help. Heather Monroe, how do we make that happen?
You can go to our website, ladiesliterary.org. Our landing page has a link to our GoFundMe, and then there is a membership wait list and a little bit about us. So you can contact us, you can reach out to me, and you can help support us.
Wonderful. All right. Looking forward to talking to you next July 4th week. How's that?
Absolutely.
And before. Heather, thank you.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, June 29, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.